The Rugby League World Cup is the pinnacle event in international rugby league. It was supposed to be played last year, but it was delayed due to COVID-19. Players compete with the pride of their nation, and it's where new rivalries form and old ones play out. This year, more teams than ever before will compete for the Rugby League World Cup across England, 21 nations championing culture, diversity and inclusivity across 61 match fixtures. Here's Wales coach John Key.
The profile of the game in the Southern Hemisphere is immense, and fortunately the Northern Hemisphere fans are going to be able to see these great players, and obviously Elliot and our guys in the Wales team, we're going to have the chance to pit our ability and our bravery and our aggression against the very best in the world.
But it's not just a celebration of the sport and its athleticism. Culture is showcased and celebrated via pre-match harkers, sippy towels and post-match songs. The rapid rise and growth of Pacifica participation in the NRL and the wider global rugby league and the willingness of those players to represent their nations of ancestry has helped level the playing field and feed a desire for this upcoming World Cup tournament. Here's Tonga captain Siasua Takiaho, followed by New Zealand Kiwis captain Jesse Bromwich.
I'm a proud Tongan. I love to represent my family, my nation, back in Tonga. All the Tongans around the world, we've been in 2017, in their last World Cup. What we're doing now is just continue to build for the next generation, and we're all excited to be at this World Cup, and hoping to go all the way.
I think, got every chance to go out there and do what we want to do, and take the trophy home to our people. So, just really want to just get it kick-started and see how we go. But I'm really happy for those nations as well to be over here and playing such a big tournament. Everyone's going to be watching, and hopefully there's some scouts either in Super League or the NRL that are watching, and some players get picked up. That'd be really nice. But yeah, I'm really happy for the nations that quite new to rugby league.
One of those new and small teams is Greece. Few players will be prouder to pull on their nation's jersey than Greece captain Jordan Meads. The 30-year-old halfback was born in Wellington, but qualifies for the Greece Titans through his maternal grandparents who migrated to New Zealand after fleeing war in Greece. This is Greece's first ever Men's World Cup. Just competing at the tournament is an achievement because the sport was illegal in the country up until only a few months ago. The decision from the Greek Ministry of Culture and Sports to lift the ban on the sport means any success from the national team can be capitalized on. Meads and his teammates haven't had it easy, having to navigate qualifying in other cities, so they never got to play a home game. Here's Meads and coach Steve Georgalis.
We're really happy that we're legal now, we have a federation.
Yeah.
But the story before, you could write a book, basically.
But, the government didn't recognise the Greek team for so many years, and now you have the situation whereby you're at the World Cup and you're as you said, you're legal.
Yeah.
So how could this be a game changer for the game, do you think?
I think us making the World Cup put a lot of pressure, I reckon, on the government to actually legalise and understand that we are the federation for rugby league in Greece, and from domestic teams that are involved in Greece that wanted to have a federation from the boat. So.
My grandparents, they migrated a long time ago, and they went through really tough times to help us live the life that we live. So to repay them on a rugby league field and do our nation proud is going to be a really special moment.
The other so-called minnow or smaller nation with a big heart is Lebanon, the Cedars as they're known. Their coach is former Rugby Union Wallabies coach Michael Checker. He's balancing the Cedars job and the Argentina Pumas Rugby Union coaching job at the same time.
Now, I've sat back and watched some of the World Cups. In fact, I got asked to play back in 99.
Really?
Yeah, when I was still playing rugby. And I must have been on holiday somewhere. I don't know what I was doing. But
So your family must love this, though.
Yeah. And the guys who started it all, back in the day, you've got to be really thankful to them because they're the opportunities that are coming. And of course, family's proud. I've got a strong connection back to them. I've been back many times, but a lot of the lads who may not have been back, this is a real connection point for them back to their heritage.
Checker was appointed head coach of Lebanon, and he agreed to honour his commitment following the event's 12-month delay, despite in the meantime being promoted to a head coaching role with Argentina in rugby union. If the Cedars qualify out of their group, they would most likely play Australia in the first quarter final at Huddersfield on Friday, November 6th, which is 2 days before the Argentina Pumas play England at Twickenham in the autumn internationals. Checker has a solid group of assistant coaches around him for support with the Cedars: former London Broncos coach Tony Ray, Sydney Roosters assistant coach Matt King, former Lebanon captain hooker Robbie Farah, and former Sydney Roosters captain Jake Friend. Lebanon captain Mitch Moses says he is confident his side can match and go further than their 2017 World Cup quarterfinal.
To see what it did for the Lebanese community in Australia was massive, and I've still got, you know, young Lebanese kids coming up to me, sprinting up to me, saying they hopefully can pull on this jersey one day. And to see where we've come from a couple of World Cups ago to now is unbelievable. And we've got a very young squad at the moment, so hopefully we can, you know, grow them into the next World Cup and really make Lebanon a powerhouse.
The smallest nation is Jamaica, and it's also their first ever tournament, like Greece. They're known as the Reggae Warriors, and they've had an incredible rise to the World Cup, with the country not having a single specific rugby league field in their nation. Their captain, Ashton Golding, issued a rallying cry for West Indian support.
I just think you've got to kind of think about the story. You know, for me, it's all about the journey. If you have a good journey, it kind of contextualises the end goal. So, you know, for me, this is the end goal. It's part of the journey. And from where we've come from, just short 5 years ago, and that kind of, you know, dedication to be playing for Jamaica, to put a team in the position to get to here today. Well, when you put it like that, it becomes such a storyline that if we was to go and compete, and if we was to go and show face, then who knows? Maybe people will start to really understand the sacrifice the team has made. And,
yeah.
And I believe that the country will be behind us 100%, you know. Everyone loves a story, and everyone loves an underdog story, and, you know, we're under no illusion, we're probably an underdog, you know, but we're growing the game. You know, there's a domestic league in Jamaica and it's playing every week.
Aye.
And for me, that's a win right there, because when you think of rugby league, you think of Australia and England and a little bit in France and New Zealand, and you don't think of Jamaica. Now we want to change that perception and say we've got a rugby league team. We're proud of that.
Australia are the favourites and most dominant team in the world. Indigenous winger Josh Adokar says he dreams of the Kangaroos adopting a pre-game Indigenous challenge akin to the haka. Adokar, Latrell Mitchell and Jack Whiten are the three Indigenous players named in Mau Meninga's squad. The trio have been part of the NRL's pre-season Indigenous All-Stars side, where a traditional war cry has been performed in response to the Maori team's haka. While the Australian team has long been the most dominant rugby league force in international World Cups, this squad is quite young. Here's Australia captain James Tedesco.
It's just about spending time together. As much time together as we can. So whenever we're at the hotel, we don't want to be sitting in our rooms. We want to be, you know, downstairs playing cards or going for walks together, just spending that quality time together. So yeah, some of these guys I haven't even met before or played with. So as I said, we've got a 6 week period to build that up and make sure when we get to games, we're all there and ready to play for each other. Yeah, it's pretty surreal. I think I would just, you know, I was always a dream to play for Australia. I didn't probably picture myself as a captain, and then as my career goes, I've got the opportunity to lead and captain Australia.
The men's tournament starts on Sunday the 16th of October, just after midnight Australian time. The women's tournament starts on November the 1st to the 19th, and for the first time ever, the wheelchair World Cup competition will be part of the Rugby League World Cup main event. It begins on Thursday the 3rd of November. Australian wheelchair player Craig Kinnane explains his passion for the game and why he's excited to represent Australia.
Prior to having my motor vehicle accident, which left me a paraplegic, I played rugby league right up to the year before my accident. And when I ended up a paraplegic, there was no such game. So I adapted myself to wheelchair basketball. But, of course, when the French and the English came out and introduced us to wheelchair rugby league, I had to go back to it. It was my love.
Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.